genuinely need to provide some context for this because
I won't include it, but I'm not the editor. Athena is.
Actually,
so really...
actually the overall context is that we were in agreement that racism is bad, no matter who it's against.
She's starting, her tune has changed now that we're recording. A liar's cough right
this,
there.
This, I think Cameron's trying to push an agenda because he is friends with Alex Jones.
I can't defend myself against that. I've said that too many times in this pod to backtrack off that bit now.
Star Wars, Transformers, Godzilla, animation, whatever else. Rebels, robots, and etc.
I would always say that it's bad idea to look backward and just keep looking forward and keep moving forward. But that's exactly what we're doing today. We are looking back at 2024 because it's Starformer Zillamation Night. Welcome to Rebels and Robots, episode 72. Athena, we should probably be...
Athena waited all that time for you just to wait until you started recording to go eat.
Editing while on the job. Oh, you put the sticker I gave you on our theater. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy. It's a sticker of a black cat reading, and it says here, you're a little bitch. I was like, Rachel would love this for Athena. That makes me so happy that is on there.
I put
it
on her feeder.
I was going to say, I would love to have a graph for how many episodes we would be at if we had maintained our original schedule of one episode a week. And where we are now, based both off of moving to bi-weekly, but also like we've already skipped like two episodes we should have recorded this year. Like,
we're kind of monthly in 2025 right now.
We'd be so much farther on our number count.
Gosh, can you imagine having to listen to like...
Crunch cam.
That'd probably be like over 100 episodes at least.
Yeah, well, yeah,
like 150 episodes.
Can
you imagine,
over 2 episodes.
Can you imagine listening to us 150 times?
Yeah. Though I suspect, though, it probably equals up to about the same amount of time because we would have, like, things like the Acolyte, we were covering one episode. We would have covered it one episode. We did 2 episodes of the Acolyte, 1 episode. Anyways, today we are going to discuss 2024, the things we covered. We're going to discuss our favorite Star Wars thing. There was only one new Transformers thing, but we can maybe talk about, we're talking about definitely like our favorite movie that we covered, so that might include Star Wars Transformers movie, depending on your, I actually have not thought about it, I need to look at the list.
Depends on how you feel about Godzilla X Kong.
Sure.
Kung Fu Panda 4?
I don't know, maybe I'll come up with a category in the middle, but maybe like favorite performance, like favorite like acting performance amongst all the stuff that we covered. I'll come up with a list. So listeners, you can play along. You can message in your favorite stuff as well.
We watched Ghibli movies too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay. No. What I was thinking was like new stuff we covered is what I was thinking. And maybe we can do like favorite thing that was new to you, period. But before we get there, as always, we have news and recent thoughts. The other big thing we're going to cover today before we get to our main topic after news is first official Jurassic World trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Which neither of us watched for some reason. So we'll be watching it live on the pod.
I was waiting to experience that on the podcast.
That's very, very kind of you.
Also because I saw a couple of glimpses during the Super Bowl. I was like,
Yeah, I caught a few clips as well. It looks like Jurassic Park.
Do you know, I think... This would be very funny. So you texted me. No, you didn't actually text me. Sorry. I thought you texted me about the Jurassic Park commercial. You didn't. You texted me about Barry Keoghan. however, I would like you to know that my mom,
mm-hmm.
Texted me. Okay, here's the thing. Sometimes my mom texts me from her Mac, and within 2 minutes of the trailer, did you see the ad for new Jurassic Park? I've barely sat down with my food. My mom also said she's behind and listening, so get it together, Mom.
I thought she had just stopped listening altogether.
Nah.
Which I guess, like, if you ever started listening, if you've listened to one episode and you never listen again, you are technically always behind. Like, unless you catch up, if you never listen again and you've chosen, you are technically in the state of being behind.
She can catch up after she retires this year.
Oh, I did not know she's retiring. Congratulations to Rachel's mom. Also, officially on the pod, since last time we recorded, I did receive a very lovely care package for Mr. Peanut, full of very lovely gifts. And thank you to Rachel's mom for those. They were great. I'm just quickly writing down all the things.
Did you set up his water bowl?
I still need to do it. I have not. He doesn't know that it exists, so he can wait. Doesn't know what he's missing.
I feel like he doesn't know a lot of things exist.
That's true. Like, anything beyond, you know, a couple miles outside of our house. I guess he was born and lived briefly. But anyways, but this is not cat talk. This is news talk.
It's always cat talk. I have one news.
Okay.
And I already texted you about it.
Well, let's talk about it.
And I tweeted about it. Allegedly, The Acolyte is getting an art of book.
Oh, yes. I remember you texted this to me.
You can pre-order it for sometime, I think, later this year. Like, there's not even a cover yet. It's going to be $50. I'm hoping this means we're going to get some other projects that get art books. But I'm kind of intrigued that out of the recent projects, non-COVID, that The Acolyte is getting one first. I would almost expect Ahsoka to get one. First.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah, I mean,
or like, they probably wouldn't do it for Bad Batch. I think the Neverending, or even maybe Kenobi, Andor didn't get one. But
that's so weird.
Here's the thing: I don't know if it's going to get one, which is heartbreaking. I didn't start coughing literally until you walked in, so I'm sorry.
My presence has angered Athena and made you have.
I went through
a liar's
whole workday with not a single cough. So. Something tells me that there is a visual guide. There's a Dawn of the Rebellion visual guide that encompasses both Andor and Kenobi.
Oh,
so I am thinking that's all we're getting.
Yeah, man, I gotta say though, those visual guides were dope. My school library had them growing up, and that is a huge reason I know as much Star Wars as I do. That's like, I remember when Force Awakens came out in 2015, it had been 10 years since a new Star Wars movie had come out. And so like, yeah, I persist to be somewhat of a Star Wars fan, but I think it had just kind of somewhat,
a Star Wars fan.
Like I had I was big into video games. I was in high school, I had a girlfriend, there's lots of other stuff. I had friends to hang out with. I'd gotten into college football. I had other stuff in my life that I was really enjoying. So Star Wars definitely took a back seat. And then when Force Awakens was coming out and there was, Star Wars was much more part of a conversation with my friends. I was making
cool
YouTube videos about
Star
it.
Wars again.
I just, all of this knowledge came flooding back. I was like, I cannot believe I still remember so much of this, mostly because of the visual guides.
But it's interesting because this book has a lot of stuff from Bad Batch, too. Like, it's got a lot of character info from even Bad Batch. So it's like, down the road. But see, you've got stuff about House Organa. You've got quite a lot about Ferrix. So something tells me that is... Unfortunately, I feel like this is as close as we're getting to like some additional behind the scenes stuff. But you know what? It's not the end of the world. It is a bit of a bummer because my collection's looking a little scarce.
Yeah, I don't think that's true, but sure.
Well, first of all, I'm at the Star Wars one. There's a lot of projects that haven't. But you know what's interesting? They made an art book for season one of Mando and season two of Mando. They've not made one for season three.
Okay, I have successfully compiled a list of everything that we covered in 2024. I'm going to text it to you so you have it for reference during our conversation. Okay. Is that the end of that news for you? Is there anything else?
The Monarch season finale was this year?
Yeah, I know. We're gonna talk about it. I think that'll be fun just to like the things that we forgot that we covered.
Sorry, spoilers. The fact that that's the first worst thing we reviewed this year. I'm kidding.
I did forget that there this section for news does have a new title. News, woos and booze. And oh, Rachel for the
I have the booze right there.
Not that kind of booze. For the inaugural rating for this system, the first time, I give that news a woo. I like that your love for the art books, and I do think that's interesting that they have not released.
I think all these other books. I think it's painful.
So boo to start to them for not, but like woo for the fact that you as a piece of news, I think it gets a woo for me.
But you know, like while I'm just so biased. I love Andor.
Athena, put in a woo sound effect. Woo! Anyways, you love Andor. We all love Andor. By the way, Caleb has now seen Andor.
He's finished it?
Yes. Mm. Did I mention this on the pod last week? I can't remember.
We might have. It's been a while.
It's been 2 weeks.
It's been a long time.
Well, I mean, considering it was like over a month before that, between episodes. But I don't remember if I mentioned to you in person or not, but like Caleb had told me that he had watched just the first episode.
You're right, because when we had played Terraria... For his birthday, he was on the 3rd or something.
Oh, did he mention that at the time?
I thought so, or I hallucinated.
Well, when I had talked to him at some point in the last month, he had told me he'd only watched a single episode.
Or maybe you told me that.
Probably. But
yeah, he was real early.
But he said he really liked the first episode, so I was shocked that like the first two episodes are like the episodes people have to kind of like get through to kind of get to the part where the show starts rolling. So when he said he loved the first episode, I was like, dude, you got to... Like, this will be your favorite thing ever. And he said that he really liked it. He wasn't as, like, totally blown away as I thought he might be. I think he said he was a little underwhelmed by Mon Mothma's storyline. He felt like it didn't really have as much of a propulsive plot as he would have liked. And he...
Caleb, you don't care about the money laundering she's going to embark on?
He really hated Cyril. He said he really liked Cyril, like, as far as, like...
You love to hate him.
Yes. He liked how much of a villain he was at the beginning, and he hated that this main villain, his plot, just devolved into him being a loser. I love both of these things. It was just, you know, this is a matter of opinion. And I'm not calling you out, Caleb. I'm just kind of repeating
what
you said.
We're always calling you out.
We appreciate the podcast content. But we then had a really fun conversation about, like, he has not seen a single other Star Wars show. And he was like, well, if this is the best, I don't know if I want to watch any more, is what he told me. And it's hard to disagree with. Like, if you've only watched Andor, it is kind of hard to recommend any other Star Wars show.
It is.
I said you can probably watch Mandalorian 1 and 2. He said 3 seasons is just too much of a commitment for me right now. It's 4 seasons because you have to watch Boba Fett. You just can't. You have no choice. He's like, oh. Then he said that was a deal breaker for him. But I told him you could probably just watch 1 and 2. And you know, obviously, we'll have a huge cliffhanger. But it's enjoyable in and of itself, I think.
Well, at my friend's Super Bowl party, they were talking about, they're like, man, we don't know anything about a Mandalorian season 4 yet. They haven't said anything. I'm like, I don't think we're getting one. And they
it's the movie.
Well, that's what I said. I don't think we're getting one. We're getting the movie, Mandalorian and Grogu. And they're like, are you serious? And I'm like, I'm no executive. But, I mean, they've said nothing. I think they're at a point where you know how like in each Marvel arc, they've built up so much that now the next step is to move forward. I think where they're at is they're doing so much beef up pre-rebellion.
She is far away, but that is noisy. Athena is so currently loud. Digging through a shoebox.
Sponsored by... We're not sponsored by...
I think I'd censor that.
But I think we're soon reaching a point where the next big project to propel things forward is going to have to be a movie of some form.
Absolutely.
Like I mean, I think they're doing all this buildup that ends like right before this alleged Dave Filoni's movie between 6 and 7. Like, it's like we're getting to the top and then stopping. It's like, I think the next thing is we're going to have to do that.
I totally agree.
Or just come out with a new trilogy.
Back to news, woos, and booze.
Take a shot every time we say that.
Here's a follow up from last week's episode. A little bit of behind the scenes on podcasting. I found the missing episode on RSS. It was never technically missing. I had so whenever you publish on RSS, you can give each episode its episode title. It's not automatic. I forgot to give it an episode. Sorry, not title, number. I forgot to give it an episode number. So with it being just a null value, it defaulted to all the way back to the beginning.
That was not our first episode.
So it was on there, but like I feel like that should it should default to public, like recent. Sorting them by recent, not episode number. So it defaulted. So it was always there. And I figured this out right after I messaged customer service for RSS, and they treated me like I was an idiot. They're like, just so you know, we found it right here. And that was after I had solved the problem. And I told them, hey, just so you know, this is what the problem was. It'd be nice if it could sort by recent. And they were like, here's how you do that. And I found it, and it didn't fix the problem. So they were wrong. Anyways, RSS, I love your functionality.
And
your customer service responded really fast, as opposed to Vimeo, which I'm not going to talk about. That's a work thing. Just got to vent that a little bit. But shout out to the Vimeo employee who's on Reddit who responded to my message and got the problem solved. That's totally irrelevant, but I think it's funny.
Shout out Reddit, sponsored by Reddit.
Okay, another podcast thing. Just thought it was funny. There was two people in the last, between the last two episodes. I didn't think about this until it just popped in my head. Between the last two episodes of recording, I saw two people who clearly had forgotten about the podcast, which is fine. I don't expect people I know to listen to the podcast, but it was really funny because they clearly, the moment they saw me, they remembered that I had a podcast and were like, oh,
that's the podcast, man.
I forgot that. I'll edit this out. It was no, wait, it was I'm gonna forget her name, who replaced you on the trivia team. Yeah, and her husband. One of them were both, they were like,
whose house I was
oh,
at.
Oh yeah, you have a podcast,
right? Because because I was at their house, and it was like, we weren't too long after we'd started. It was like in the summer, and I mentioned it. They went, you have a podcast? The friend group. And I went, yeah. And they pulled it up, and someone immediately pulls it up and goes, oh, an hour and 45. That was like one of our longest.
I think about that every time I see our episode like that. I think about that, and it makes me laugh.
And so we talked about it, but I talk about Star Wars all the time with her husband. Like every time I'm at their house.
Yeah, he was very talkative about Star Wars.
I'm like, have you seen the newest shiny thing they released? And he's like, I'm working on it. And I'm like, okay.
We've censored your name, but if you do happen to listen to this episode, we're shouting, you know who you are.
Thanks for letting me come to your house.
It was fun to have you on the trivia team, and it was fun to talk Star Wars and Dune with you guys. The other person was not. It was a friend, my wife's friend's husband. They were visiting from Arizona, and I would say I'm friends with him too. But he clearly was like, we sat down, we had not seen each other in like 6 months, and he was like, what's the name of your podcast again? I gotta listen to that. Like, clearly, like, it's totally fine to forget about it. It's just funny that like people see me, and if they know about the podcast, that seems to be the first thing they think about sometimes.
Well, the funny thing is that I'm also working on a project at your workplace.
Oh, yes.
Volunteer hours. I'm not being like sourced.
Real volunteer hours.
Or commissioned. I'm helping with another department, you could say.
Yes.
And Cameron has been tasked to get something for me for that project. And I was being informed of that and by the person who said, yeah, I contacted him and said, he was like, oh, yeah, he said, tell her I'll get it to her. And I said, oh, yeah, Karen and I, we've been friends for years. We have a podcast together. She goes, oh, that's exactly what he said. It was the podcast aspect. So,
okay, last bit of news for me. This is a little bit out of date timeliness now, but like, you know.
Same.
So incredibly famous within the film world, David Lynch, he passed away. His connection.
Yeah, didn't we talk about him?
I don't know if it kind of briefly came up, but I forgot that he does have a connection to this podcast.
Rebels and Robots, and et cetera.
Did briefly meet with George Lucas about directing Episode 6. And if you've ever watched a single moment of anything David Lynch, you would know that was a bad idea. The only reason Luke has reached out to him is because he directed the original Dune movie. So I guess if you've seen that Dune movie, you would know incredibly different.
My mom said, mom was telling how she went and saw the first one in college, a group
Dune?
Of
Dune?
Yes.
Oh,
Dune.
Wild.
And she said, when it was also funny because hearing this conversation between my parents, where my mom was like, yeah, I went, and my dad goes, I was there too. My mom did not remember. Apparently, my dad went. Mom, if you listen to this, and I am telling this incorrectly, I swear dad was like, I was there, and you said, no, you weren't. So that's super funny.
That's so good.
She said, when you went to the theater, before you went in, they handed you like a brochure.
Yes, explain like character names and like, yeah, it was like an index or a pamphlet to like unexplained things. Yeah,
like a dictionary.
Yeah, so good.
A visual guide.
Yes.
For Dune.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so there's this great quote from Lynch that I found, and he's got a very distinct voice. I'm gonna try to do it. I'm probably gonna.
He's dead.
What? So he's got to say he's very famous for his voice. He put himself in his movies. I was asked by George to come up to see him and talk to him about directing which would be the third Star Wars. And I had next to zero interest, but I always admire George. You know, George is a guy that does what he loves, and I do what I love. The difference is what George loves makes hundreds of billions of dollars.
You know how JonTron does that voice thing? I feel like that's what you just did.
Anyways, I did initially misread that of the difference is that George loves making hundreds of billions of dollars, which is not untrue, but it was the difference is what George loves makes hundreds of billions
like
of dollars.
Poetry, right.
Anyways, a very funny analysis of David Lynch. He also very famously said he got a headache 10 minutes after talking to George.
That's so funny.
That's
hysterical.
Do wish David Lynch had, for whatever reason, directed something in a franchise after Dune, but he was a very creative
man,
and very independent
maker. Man, imagine if he was in the talks for
maker.
Dune 3. Brutal.
I mean, that would have been great. Brutal. Anyways, that's the end of news and woos and boos.
I give that a woo.
Woo! Anyways, 2024. No, Transform. No, Jurassic World. What's it called? Rebirth.
I better not see another.
Jurassic World Preborn. We're about to watch it right now.
Jurassic World Reborn.
As a reminder, this is a double whammy for being related to the podcast because it's also directed by Star Wars Rogue One director Gareth Edwards.
Star Wars Jurassic World, Jurassic World Reborn, but it's like the reborn babies.
Phenomenal. Great.
You're welcome.
Here we go. We've got
Dr. Henry Loomis. This is Zora.
Turn off the brightness on your computer. Deck up.
Dr. Henry Loomis.
Thanks.
This is Zora Bennett.
Alita One.
Uh-huh. So we've got Scarlett Johansson. Is our
Jonathan
lead.
Bailey. Who's in Wicked.
It comes from the largest dinosaurs on the planet.
Oh my god.
So, this has got to be the original island, right?
I don't know. Let me watch, Cameron.
Can you be ready tomorrow?
I can guarantee your safety.
That's not the original island. That's a museum.
More or less.
So, Scarlett Johansson is seemingly some sort of bodyguard, military person.
And people in and out of places they shouldn't be.
So, really, it seems like they,
Control, but they're not that many anymore.
Why's that?
That is the original one. I think.
And we got Mahershala Ali.
I don't know.
Research facility.
Okay.
For the original Jurassic Park.
Wait.
This is the research facility.
Wait.
The biggest dinosaurs.
Do we have to get a sample from an egg?
Oh my gosh. Is this Site B?
Maybe we should make it quick.
So they're in some sort of ruins. Oh, they're bringing back the flying dinos.
These dinosaurs were too dangerous for the original park.
Too dangerous for the original park.
The worst of the worst. We're left here.
So he's doing the classic flare to distract the dinosaur.
What was that?
Yeah, that was a crazy looking one. It was almost like, it looked like a troll more than a dinosaur.
Helping the Mosasaur. Defend territory, stalk, hunt.
None of what you just said is good.
You're getting attacked by watery boys.
Those are Spinosauruses, Cameron.
So it looks a lot like Jurassic Park.
That? Okay. So if it's the original research location, is this on... Actually, I don't think this can take place on the original island because of what happened at the end in Dominion.
Oh, I forgot about
Dominion. Oh my God. If this is a Site B movie, that would be super cool. Because the only one that's been on Site B is Lost World.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The one that Michael Crichton had to make because Spielberg went, hey, we made good money. write yourself something nice. Unless, so in the chain of islands, there are five.
Okay.
How? What's really cool is, so they were in ruins. That didn't really look like modern. You know, they were like stone ruins. So the islands are in the lore, they stand for the five deaths. Let me get their full name so I can talk about them totally. It's the so there's Isla Sorna, which is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
There is Isla Mantiseros, Isla Muerta, Isla Pena, and Isla Tacaño. They're probably all Isla. So they're called Las Cinco Muertes. Sorry, I took German. Las Cinco Muertes, which is means the five deaths. And so there's kind of like some lore in a bit of a way that there's like some Mayan influence in these islands. So if they're going
that route,
that would be so cool because that has not been done in any of the movies.
Sure. Yeah. You know,
that seems very intriguing.
I mean, as like silly as it is, I think silly is really the only way you can like actually go with a Jurassic Park sequel. And this is the island with the dinosaurs who are too dangerous for the main park. Is pretty good. It seems like they're playing around with some like genetic engineering.
Which?
Because there's this guy
who
has like a skull face.
That looks like an alien. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like it's kind of alien looking. It's kind of like ape-ish. Like its arms like kind of bend. It's like it's got big front arms like an ape.
There have been so many ideas thrown out for Jurassic Park going from the realm of mixing dinosaurs to mixing humans and dinosaurs for military super weapons. We see a very small, part of that in Jurassic World, where they're training the raptors for military use.
Yes.
But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. Yeah.
It would seem as though, so a huge criticism of the first one was that like you had very dated element of like laid back, cool, working class hero guy, Chris Pratt, and uptight.
Oh, Jurassic World. I thought you meant Jurassic Park. And I was like,
did I say Jurassic Park? I meant Jurassic World.
You said the first one?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. The first Jurassic World. Then you had uptight business gal, Bryce Dallas Howard. They're very intentionally swerving towards making sure that they have the female lead is herself an action hero with, it's not inherently bad. It just kind of seems like an obvious, course correction from within its own series. Scarlett Johansson is an actress who really needs good, like, directing and good screen. Like, she can be good, but she's not like one of those people who just like shows up and is good. Herschel Ali kind of is a guy though, who I do kind of feel is good no matter what, so I think he brings a lot. I do hope these characters have, 'cause I think that is what these people who make these Jurassic Park movies, I think they often forget how strong the character work was in that original film.
Mm-hmm.
That fills in the spot. Like, it does two things. One, it makes the scenes without the dinosaurs compelling and interesting in their own right. And then when you get into the dinosaur elements, you actually care whether these characters live or die. Or some characters you want to see die. Or like some characters you're kind of interested to see if they die or not.
Mm-hmm. Like, no one feels bad for the lawyer in Jurassic Park.
Well, you're happy to see him die at that
point. When he dies because he abandons the kids to the T-Rex. Yes. When he dies, you're like, yeah, that sucks.
Yes.
Also, he's literally a scummy lawyer, so, you know, yep. People aren't really rooting for him.
This is exactly kind of how you'd expect a Jurassic Park teaser trailer to be. I certainly, you know, just about any movie, you always hope there's kind of something else. Like, surprise is always good. I think especially in the seventh movie in a series, you gotta have something surprising in there.
You know, maybe when they said they kept the most dangerous dinosaurs on the island, mm-hmm. they're going to clone John Hammond.
the most dangerous
ooh, one.
You know, that is the trend in these kind of movies. Like, very famously, the Alien movie that came out last year had a...
Ooh, Romulus?
They brought back an actor from the original one, mm-hmm. who the real actor is dead.
Android, yeah.
So I would not be surprised if we get some sort of eerie, ghoulish AI recreation of an actor who's passed away. And aww. I think he's one of the main ones that would be a target for that.
I quite enjoyed Alien Romulus.
We considered talking about it, but then I decided I'm good.
Because I told you not to watch it.
That's true.
Because I knew I...
things and stuff. Anyways, on to the main subject for today. Looking back
Rebels at
2024, I'm going to quickly rattle off the things that we covered. Monarch.
Talk that much.
We somehow managed to cover the last part of Monarch last January. Totally forgot about that. Godzilla 2014, Bad Bat Season 3, Kong Skull Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters,
hell yeah,
Kung Fu Panda 4, Godzilla vs. Kong, Godzilla X Kong, Tales of the Empire, The Acolyte, Inside Out 2, From Up on Poppy Hill, Princess Mononoke, Castle in the Sky Castle, Bumblebee 2018, Transformers 1, another one I forgot about, Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Universe, one I left off the list I somehow managed to skip over, I think it was in the same episode as this, is why I missed it. The Wild Robot.
Oh, yeah.
The Spooky Special, Avatar The Last Airbender, Happy, Hates Giving, and Skeleton Crew.
I think you mean Princess Mononoke.
they were in there. So, I think let's start off with favorite Star Wars thing. What? So, that includes Bad Batch Season 3, Tales of the Empire, The Acolyte, Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Universe, mm-hmm. and Skeleton Crew.
I'm going to go with Skeleton Crew. I think it felt fresh. It just felt like a very easy watch. There weren't exceptionally high stakes. So that was just something I enjoyed out of it. I like ranked my Star Wars projects. Bad Batch Season 3 is bottom of the barrel for me, unfortunately.
Agreed. I'm glad we're on the same page about that. Yeah.
That was just... I'm sorry for everyone that loves it. I'm so glad that you loved it. It just feels like they didn't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
It feels like they tried to do too much and then not enough. And I don't think they had the time to actually build up to these super large meaningful moments and plot lines that they wanted to, in a way that just didn't hit for me.
Yeah, I think especially season 3, while being bad in of itself, also really hurts my overall impression of the show. Because when I think about the show, I think about mostly enjoying season 1, season 2 having its high point, and then season 3 just not really, accomplishing anything. Yeah. So I barely even remember much of what happened in season 3. And the stuff I do remember, I don't remember enjoying all that much.
I remember being super excited for season 2. Pre-ordered all the figures. And then throughout season 2, I was like, okay. But season 2 kept feeling like I was waiting for something to happen. And so then when season 3 came along, I was like, okay, we gotta kick up some stuff. And we just never did. But yeah. What was your top?
This is a hard one for me. Nothing really jumped out at me. Like, I would say generally enjoyable. other than Bad Bat Season 3, which I didn't hate. You know, we still watched it. It wasn't like I just peaced out and still refused to keep watching it. Mostly just okay. I would say the peak as far as elements was in The Acolyte. I think the stuff that I enjoyed the most was, but I think even for me, the negatives of that don't bring it down that much. I think the biggest thing that brings it down from being my favorite is that it just doesn't have an ending. And that makes it really, because when I think about favorite, I think about what am I most likely to rewatch or what had a, because there's some stuff I don't really plan on rewatching, but maybe had like a really profound impact on me. And I think about a lot. And Acolyte can't really click either of those boxes because it doesn't have an ending. It didn't really get to go where it was trying to go. Like, it was starting to do things. It was starting to say things. It was starting to build up.
It either needed more episodes or it needed to cut out a lot of unnecessary
things. Absolutely. So I would love for Acolyte to be up there, even with its flaws, but I don't think I can. I'm thinking about the thing that I'd be most likely to rewatch, the thing that I'd be most likely, and I think the thing that I would like to see more of, not necessarily in the same storyline, but just stylistically, I really think it might be Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
oh, there's a lot that they can do with that.
It's just a lot of fun. And I think it was the most original... like, yes, we had lots of Lego stuff before, but I think just going full-blown fan service, it was fan service that also didn't take itself too seriously, but also outside the fan service was genuinely creative. I'm really thankful to the Lego movie for really popularizing, if you make an animated Lego thing, you emulate stop motion, because there was a lot of animated Lego stuff before that was just Lego characters, but they're just animated, and they were very like bendy,
fluid.
And the environments they were in were not really made out of Legos. They were just kind of generic CGI environments. Lego Movie made it so that really the expectation now is if you're going to do a Lego thing, you need to have really high quality texture renders. The environments need to be as Lego as possible. And it needs to look like stop motion so that it has this unique gravity and weight and feel to it. And I think that Lego Star Wars is an incredible example of that in the Star Wars universe. And I think this I think if I was to say, what do I want to see more of out of Star Wars? It would just be more creativity like this, whether it's animation, whether it's shorts. Like, I think this is the kind of stuff that, like, this is the kind of stuff you can pump into Disney Plus that feels like it doesn't need to be in theaters. Because things like Acolyte, even Skeleton Crew, I way wish more were movies in the theater. But Rebuild the Universe feels like something I loved watching on Disney Plus. Very lighthearted, fun, good use of, like, kind of middle tier Hollywood actors that you don't see in a lot of stuff overall. I think I would be likely to go back and actually revisit it as well.
Yeah, good choice.
I would love to, if you have off the top of your head, like, most surprising thing, whether it's something that was surprisingly good, surprisingly bad, or an element of a show or a performance. It's like, what of all the stuff that we covered surprised you?
Of everything?
Yeah, just of anything that we covered in 2024.
Oh.
And I can answer the question first if you want a second to think.
Yeah, I want some thoughts.
The beginning of Wild Robot, the first like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I went in, because the trailer, obviously the trailer was great. You could also add the trailer for Wild Robot came out of nowhere. Like, really, we did not have really any plans at the beginning of 2024 to cover new animated movies. But that trailer made me think, yeah, this is something that deserves to be on this podcast. And the movie ended up being pretty good. It was fine. But the trailer was amazing, and then I think the only part of the movie that really, other than the beautiful animation, that really paid off the promise of that trailer was that silent first 10 minutes where there was no dialogue other than the robot, and on top of that, there was actual death involved because it was trying to hammer home the element of, in nature, it's everyone for their own. That first 10 minutes is like, it's what people say about Up, it's a very cliche thing to say, but it's very true, almost its own excellent short film. I just remember being in the theater just being flabbergasted at what I was seeing. And the movie never had stood a chance to live up to that. But I still, that element alone, when I think back at that movie, really elevates the whole movie for me and makes me really glad that we covered it and that I saw it in theaters. I really value surprise. And I don't know if there's anything else. Obviously, the Ghibli stuff always will have surprising stuff in it. Absolutely. I think the second place one would be Big Boobied Grandma in Castle in the Sky would be a very close second. Her and her her sons. But yeah, that's probably that's
I'm adding that sure. to 2025's moments.
We haven't really had the moments like Athena, we did since the Ghibli stuff.
Athena, clip that so I can get a soundboard and we're just going to have that. Things that surprised me. Okay, so I have one. It's about Tales of the Empire.
Okay.
I think I was surprised. Well, it is surprising to me, in my opinion, how flat it was.
Yeah.
It was just kind of, it was one of those things that, you know, you have the Tales of the Jedi, and it's short stories, obviously. But, you know, there's a lot of options that they can choose. And even with the options they chose, it was really just kind of like, okay. Because we see, what's her name? Mora? No.
I'm trying to see. I think I've forgotten a lot of what was covered. I think our viewers, our listeners have probably also forgotten. I'm bringing it up. So if you don't remember, Tales of the Empire is a sequel series, like a continuation. They had Tales of the Jedi, which was a Clone Wars-esque animated thing that covered different Jedi stories. And Tales of the Empire, kind of on the flip side, covered various dark side slash empire. So you had like the origin
Morgan
of
Elsbeth. That's who it was.
Morgan Elsbeth. You had what happened to, well, there was really only six episodes. There was two stories.
Yeah, there's three of each.
You had Morgan Elsbeth, and then you had Barriss, the Jedi who betrayed Ahsoka and the other Jedi during the Clone Wars, and how she became an Inquisitor and then turned around and stopped being an Inquisitor. Those were the two stories. So please continue.
It was just one of those things where I think on paper they sound good, and just the way it was executed, it was kind of thinking, I was just like, okay, all right, because who knows if they're going to do anything else with Barriss. Like, we actually saw the beginning and like the very end almost in a way. I liked the expansion of the Inquisitor training. That was pretty cool. The stuff with Morgan Elsbeth was just kind of like, okay, she got wrangled up in the Empire. That's why she loves Thrawn. That's kind of how it felt for me. So that was, I think it was just surprising to me how it was. I wasn't expecting like absolute cinema. I'm doing the Martin Scorsese thing. I wasn't expecting it to be like perfect, but it was just kind of like, oh, I remember we watched the episodes and you're kind of like, all right, that was okay. Tales of the Empire. I think the other thing, I don't know, surprising. I'm surprising how much I viscerally hated Monarch.
Yeah, so that Monarch is very similar to Acolyte in a lot of ways, though I think it scales tip way the other direction. For me, Acolyte, the good stuff really outweighs the bad stuff, even though the bad stuff could be pretty bad in Acolyte. In Monarch, there would be little tiny bits of really amazing stuff, and then just the rest of the time, well, not even really horrible, just bland nothing. But yeah,
it's like every complaint for Transformers movies that focus too much on humans, it was that, but times 10, and not a single Pepsi endorsement or Budweiser endorsement, you know, Bud Light, whatever. It was just, it was something, because I was really excited for it, and gosh, you just got to hear me every 2 weeks hating on it. So that was the surprise I think I had. The hums.
Okay, so I realized an element that I've really enjoyed in this podcast that we kind of dropped because we didn't really have a theme ongoing, though we need to name it now for Skeleton Crew. We had various seasons during the course of this show, and I'm going to send you the list if you want to choose a favorite or least favorite.
Seasons?
So we had Hot Bot Summer.
Oh, gosh.
Which is not, I've never even considered going back and retroactively renaming, because it started with when we covered Transformers over the summer during our first year. We didn't have a name for anything before that. So we came up with Hot Bot Summer. That continued on to Ahsoka Autumn / Ahsoka Autonomnal. Monster Wonderland, which is when we covered Godzilla Minus One and Monarch during the winter. Then we had Mon March Madness and also Bad Barch Badness, which was when we covered the MonsterVerse movies leading up to Godzilla X-Kong around the month of March. And then also Bad Batch in the same time. Then we had Suns Out, Guns Out Summer, brought to you by Darth Chimer, the gun show Teethies, which was when we covered Acolyte Season 1 during the summer. We had Miyazaki, Dog Days of Dead Dad Summer, which was when we covered three films directed by the Miyazaki boys. And then we had Septformers Month, which was Bumblebee and Transformers 1 during this month of September. And this is a good time to come up with our skeleton crew name. We covered it during the winter.
Dead podcast tell no tales.
Oh, that's not bad.
Dead hosts tell no tales.
So we got skeleton crew.
Skeleton crew.
We're going to do some live brainstorming here.
We're padding times so we can get monetized.
Yeah. skeleton crew. So ideas include dead pod. Dead pods cast no tales. Dead podcasters cast no pods.
I don't like that.
Dead podcasts tell no tales.
Keep it simple for the kids at home, Cameron.
You could see. See, we didn't really have a running joke as much through that show. It wasn't
We just kept saying it's all skeletons in it. Yeah, that's all it was. I guess that could be it's all skeletons in it.
That's, you know what? That's almost got to be what it is. It was.
Hey, if they ever do another Pirates of the Caribbean movie, then we can use the Dead podcast.
Yeah. I do hope that would be great to cover on the pod. Some sort of.
Oh my gosh! Us getting to watch all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies again. I would love that.
That would have a very similar energy to us covering all the Transformers movies for sure. Is there a Christmas or a winter element to Skeleton Crew? Skeleton Snow Crew? Snowleton Crew?
Skeleton
Snow?
Hold on.
Jack Skeleton Crew. There was a blue elephant boy.
Skeleton Crew.
Hold on. Censor that. That gives away where we live. You can't say that on that. That's obscene to say.
Me when I say something funny and it's got to be censored because I doxed us.
Skeleton crew. What was the name of the ship? I keep forgetting the name of the ship.
Onyx Cinder.
Onyx Cinder.
That's what I call Athena.
Onyx December.
I think you're pushing it. We should live call my dad.
Dead podcast, tell no tales.
Treasure podcast.
Skeleton Cruise. The Skeleton Cruise Treasure Podcast.
Nah, I don't think I like that. See, you do this thing where you put too many words in it and it loses.
Well, I'm trying to make it make sense on its own. Like, Septformers is so clean. And, like, if you read any of these, you kind of get an idea of, like, when it was. So I think they all reference the time of year. I think that's really important for a good season name. It references what a time of year it happens. So it needs like a wintry or a Christmas thing. Or like end of semester.
A bone chilling winter.
The Skeleton Crew bone chilling winter special. Skeleton Crew cold to the bone. Skeleton Crew takes a ride on the I keep forgetting the name of the ship.
Onyx Center. Oh gosh, no.
Skeleton Crew takes a ride on the Onyx December. So I think we'll need to maybe brainstorm between episodes and come up with one. We're so far past Skeleton Crew now. I can't believe we didn't do this earlier. Because I'm the only one who cares. But Skeleton... Okay, no, not Star Wars. No, dang it. Christmas songs. I'm going to do a quick list. White Christmas. The Christmas song. Great. Do they know it's Christmas time? Do they know? Well, see, that's not really famous enough.
Do you think Santa visits at
Blue Abby? Christmas. Oh, that's that. Okay, Ad Atten's a good angle, I think.
Thank you. I was thinking about that.
At like a very Ad Atten Christmas, or very like a something very like a very bony a very skeleton Christmas, a very last Christmas.
It's a
let it crew, let it crew.
It's a skeleton's life.
So dumb.
The Onyx Cinder Express, Cameron.
Oh, ooh, that's not. I think I like that because, like, the Orient, the Onyx Cinder Express,
the Polar Express.
What did I say?
The Oriental Express.
I can't believe I said. Whoa, that's bad.
What
yes.
What are you talking about?
Okay. I'm writing this one down.
Are you thinking Murder on the Orient Express?
That's what I was thinking. Onyx Cinder Express. Like, that's so bad. That's, whoa. My only concern with that is that I'm trying to figure out if it, like, yeah, I mean, we didn't say Acolyte. Yeah, it doesn't have to directly reference the show's name. Onyx Cinder Express. Take a ride on the... No, that I'm trying... Okay, like, there's the hot cocoa. I'm trying to think of, like, there's another detail you can add to make it really clear that it's like Christmas time. Like, the hot cocoa thing or the...
Golden Ticket. Tom Hanks.
A skeleton crew... The skeleton crew of the Onyx Cinder Express. I want it to like make sense on its own, but I guess I want more the Christmas Onyx Cinder Express.
Hold on, I'm
to
Cameron. I'm cooking, Cameron.
The
cooking.
Onyx Cinder Express to an At Atten Christmas.
That's too much.
Well, hold on.
Because you don't always see Cameron. Just
number
too
five.
Long.
Our Acolyte one was Suns Out, Guns Out Summer, brought to you by Darth Chimer, the Gun Show Teethies. They can be long.
How about a Jod Nana Wood Christmas?
Jod Claws. Jod Skeleton Claws? Jod Claws. You said a very Jod... What did you say? Say it again.
A Jod Nana Wood Christmas. That's his full name. Jod Nana Wood. Like Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Jod Nana Wood's Christmas special. Like he's a celebrity hosting a Christmas special.
Yeah, I think he'd do it.
On the Onyx Cinder Express. The Jod Nana Wood Christmas special on the Onyx Cinder Express.
You know, I can go with that one.
Yes, there we go. Good teamwork. Jod's great. I love it.
Do you need to know how to spell his name?
Yeah, give it to me.
So it's Geoday.
G-O-D. Jod. N-A-N-A-W-O-D.
Yeah, but so it's N-A space. No.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
It's his full government
this
name.
This is so good. Jod Nana Wood. Christmas special. On the Onyx Cinder. This is great. This is so good. Bam. Done.
Phenomenal.
Good work.
You know... If these weren't so branded, these could just be like Fall Out Boy song titles because they're so long.
That's good. That's true. Okay. So what's your favorite or least favorite from this year?
Out of the whole.
Yeah. Well, so not all of them, just from 2024. So that includes Monster Wonderland, Mon March Madness, Bad Barch Badness.
I forgot what we were talking about.
Suns Out, Guns Out Summer, brought to you by Death Karimir, the Gun Show Teethies, Miyazaki Dog Days of Dead Dad Summer, Septformers Month, and Jod Nana Wood's Christmas Special on the Onyx Cinder Express.
So
I love all of them. This is a hard choice. This is the most difficult choice I've made so far this episode.
Title or like season?
Title.
Title, okay. I think I have to go... I think I have to go with Miyazaki's Dog Days of Dead Dad Summer.
You know what? That's the right answer. I remember when we came up, we also came up with live on the pod. That is an amazing, so good.
That was when we had to go, should we say this?
Man, for me, I love them all. The one I remember when I think of these, I think of Suns Out, Guns Out, Summer, brought to you by Death Karamir, the gun show, Katithis. But man, the one when I look at these that I am like the most proud of, man, but Set Formers Month is so clean, but I'm really going toward Bad Batch Badness. It's just so dumb.
It's just because it's Bad so Batch stupid. Season 3 was bad.
It's so stupid. I love it. But you know, man, Set Formers Month just rolls off the tongue.
I do think Mon March Madness is pretty clean.
Mon March Madness is really good. That is a great one. But man, but the issue with Bad Batch Badness is it's not. It's only funny because we were doing Mon March Madness.
True, right?
So by itself, it's not as good. It's because it's sitting next to Mon March Madness and also Bad Batch Badness. But as a combo, Mon March Madness and Bad Batch Badness, which we were doing at the same time, that's pretty good. Because also, out of context, if you said Septformers Month, do people know you're talking about Transformers?
We're actually talking about septic tanks.
Yeah, I think I got to give it to Mon March Madness and Bad Batch Badness together as a pair, as a duo. That might be cheating a little bit.
This season.
But I do have it in here as one item. But that was fun. Okay, kind of in a similar note, do you just have an episode? It's probably like, do you just have a moment or an episode you remember just really enjoying recording? Like, when you think about back at 2024, you think about the podcast, what was the most fun that you had on the pod?
Sorry, sometimes I get weird.
You do sometimes get weird. I agree. No.
So I got a weird article that just says, Bad Batch Season 3 expands on Ventress with a prequel. I don't know what that means. Good question.
So I'll remind listeners of everything we just did. Kill.
Hold on. Let me think. We've talked so much this year, Cameron.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Let me go through the episodes.
This one is not my answer, but coming up with Princess Mononoke while I was making just in general making the thumbnails. I love making the thumbnails for the show. It is so fun. But Princess Mononoke was a particularly favorite moment of mine. That's not my dead number one, but that is high up there. The just like how done we were at the end of Monarch season finale. By the time we got to the end of that show, that's kind of a fun memory of just like we were just so done because we hadn't really cut like we were very done with the Transformers movies, but we had seen those before, and we kind of chose that. Like we knew when we started Transformers Hot Bot Summer, we knew what we were getting into. When we chose to cover Mon March Madness or Monarch's Legacy of Monsters, we had no idea. We didn't know how much we would hate it. We didn't know how freaking weird it would be in like not good ways.
Okay, I think I have two.
Okay.
I think the one that I think is more fun just because the prep was so fun was when we watched Castle in the Sky.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because we were both blind on that.
Yeah, that's true. That's the one that we covered that neither of us had seen.
We had nothing to expect and blew me out of the water. I loved it.
Yeah,
but I think honestly, when we did the episode with 2018 Bumblebee and we did our Transformers film pitch, I think that was really fun. We like listening to ourselves talk.
Yeah, you know what? That I had to forget about. That's actually a really. That's probably mine too.
We recorded that on September
11th. Great. yeah. No. The Transformers film pitch, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. That's probably the right answer.
Rachel, but what like, is your opinion? What is your personal choice? Says option. That's the right answer.
What I'm saying is I'm going to give a different answer, but if I had thought about that, I would have done that one.
Hey, Happy Hates Giving was good, too.
That's what I'm thinking. Hates because it was just unique. I love our topic episode. We don't do it very frequently. I really enjoyed that. Getting to just riff on the stuff that annoys us. That's kind of like how we like started and ended the year almost, is hating Monarch and just hating on just whatever we wanted to hate on. I'm trying to find that episode because I don't remember everything that I listed.
That was episode 68.
Wild Robot Rebuilds. Oh, thank you. That's very helpful. Okay. I got to talk about 2022, three bad movies. I got to talk about knockoff cereal stuff. Oh yeah, we got like really deep on that episode too. That is a really good. Yeah, do you know what? I think that is. Yeah, that I think it because in this year we also decided to like just if it came up add more of a depth analysis, more of a spiritual element, and that really came out in that episode.
We
I remember.
We did not do that for Skeleton Crew.
It just wasn't there. And that's fine. That's totally fine. It's not always there. We don't want to force it. Yeah, that was definitely my favorite episode. I really enjoyed that. And because we didn't just hate on things just to hate on things. We brought out things that we dislike seeing because we have such a respect for the medium. We have such a respect for artistic integrity.
Absolute cinema.
And we want to see good stuff because we believe in it. And yeah, I think that's my answer. Do you have outside the podcast, do you have a favorite new thing that you saw in 2024? Whether it was a movie or a show?
I'm trying to remember what I watched that wasn't with you.
You went and saw a lot of horror films.
I did go see a lot of horror films. I think outside of the podcast, because so much of what I consume is now on the podcast, probably my favorite thing seen was Alien Romulus.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of like Alien.
Yeah, absolutely.
The second one's okay. Third, I actually never finished the third one because I bailed 15 minutes in.
It gets better as it goes. The third one's weird. Do we want to take a quick aside here? Because
sure.
I would love to talk about this.
Because I'll talk about why I stopped watching it.
It's probably not going to come up ever again. So I might as well. Because I did watch it because one of my favorite podcasts, the Blank Check podcast, they cover David Fincher, who directed that third one. And while I don't love it, especially in contrast to the first one, and it's not like it doesn't have like the exciting tension and creativity of the first one. It doesn't have I don't even really like Aliens, aka Alien 2, that much, but I respect what it is.
Well, because Alien 3 just throws away the ending of Alien 2. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, the girl's dead. That sucks.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that I'm trying to remember why that was. I don't know if it was that they couldn't get the actress back or it was a weird studio choice. The studio was heavily overly involved with that. But the second one is this crazy, huge, innovative action movie. And the third one doesn't really have either of those things.
It does have Charles Dance.
And he is great in it.
I'll give it that.
But the third one, I appreciate that it is still different from the first two. It is this, they're trapped on a planet. A prison planet. I like how it kind of plays around with different what happens if other biological life gets infected with a mm-hmm. xenomorph. It has some original stuff in it. It has, I think, actually a very strong ending. I think it works really well as what was supposed to be the ending of the trilogy. If you don't know, spoiler for a very old film, Ripley dies at the end and then they bring her back in 4 as a clone.
Yeah.
As a very ominous grinding sound.
That's my furnace.
Oh.
That's unfortunately just going to be in the background for
me. Great.
I'm sorry.
Also, call back to the early episode of this podcast when I had to run down the stairs and turn off the AC in my house. It was so loud. Well, please enjoy this background hum. ASMR, you're in Rachel's apartment and the heater turns on. Ripley dies at the end of 3 and I think it actually was a really excellent ending.
She sacrificed herself.
Mm-hmm. And so it's an interesting film. But what made you drop out?
I bailed really early because so she lands on this prison planet and it's mm-hmm. all men.
Yeah.
And there's what I thought was just a really extended scene where they're all grabbing at her and it made me uncomfortable.
That's
and
fair.
I went, I'm not in a space to watch this right now.
Yep.
And I just never picked it up again because I already know what happens.
Yeah.
And knowing that they just completely make the end of the film pointless by bringing back in the fourth movie. I was like, okay, whatever.
But what about Romulus makes it really stand out for you thinking about 2024?
I feel like Romulus really paid a lot of, it really felt like, this sounds super like cheesy, like film review. It felt like a love letter to the original one. The practical effects, I thought there was a really interesting aspect of, well, first of all, a younger cast, which is kind of like, oh, okay, but then also like, oh gosh, watching these poor teenagers get like ripped apart. Not fun. That's not fun. But actually my favorite character was the android, Andy.
Okay.
He was my favorite character. I hope for the best for him. But I think it just felt like an Alien film. And so I've also played Alien Isolation, which is the video game, which I really enjoyed. I almost punted Athena across the room one time because that game is a stealth game where you play as Ripley's daughter. And like my daughter, you get lost in a very large spaceship with an alien, and you can't, it's not really a combat game because you can't fight the xenomorph. I was playing in the dark and Athena brushed against my ankle while I was playing it. Scary stuff. But it felt more akin to Alien Isolation and Alien, which is just what I really, I like the atmosphere.
Yeah, I can totally see that. So my number one, I didn't see a ton of like new stuff within 2024. My top movie for the year is Dune 2. You don't need to hear me talk about Dune 2. It's been talked to death. It's great. My number 2, 3, 4, and 5 are movies that we covered on the podcast.
Nice.
So I'm going to talk about number 6, which is a documentary that I got the pleasure of seeing at a film festival here in town, and it is now on Netflix.
Did we go see that?
Did you see this with me? I don't remember.
What's it called?
It's now, they changed the title. It was originally called Ebelin. It's now
called. We did see that because I said I want to see this film.
Okay, so you saw
it
with us.
Yes,
okay.
I forgot that this was last year. I'm putting that as my favorite.
Okay, nice. It's now called The Remarkable Life of Ebelin.
Yes.
It is, was he Swedish? Norwegian? A Scandinavian young man who had a degenerative disorder who eventually pretty much rendered him totally immobile. He lived his entire life at that point in his early 20s in his basement. And after he passed away, his family learns that he actually had this very vibrant, active social life through World of Warcraft. He only ever chatted, though, via text message or text chat.
Accessible tech.
So they had every conversation he had was
every
documented.
Every chat log.
And they recreated them using animated assets from World of Warcraft. So it is a documentary. You have actual interviews with real people, but then you see recreations within World of Warcraft. It's a phenomenal documentary.
It is.
Highly recommend it.
It's, if you cry, you'll cry.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a dry eye because we saw it with a huge group of people. And it's the last 10 minutes so you just hear.
Yeah.
Like so, in various points.
It's on Netflix. You probably have access to it. It's super good.
It's not only just a phenomenal documentary, but just the way they went about it with the different ways. So there's interviews from his parents and his family. There's interviews with the people he met online who had like really no idea what he was going through health-wise. And then just like I just love the fact that they're like, we're going to retell all these conversations. They could have read the chat logs.
Yeah.
They could have said, he said this to me. They recreated it. Yeah. That's just an extra step.
It's very excellent.
That elevates it.
And if you're worried, I mean, I would totally understand by hearing the description if you thought maybe it's just another generic inspirational documentary.
Oh,
I think what's great is that they are not afraid to discuss this guy's shortcomings and his insecurities that like not everything he did was good. Like I think it's a really nice portrait of a complex human being who did some really great things for other people, and then he also had some toxic self-image problems that caused him to withdraw from people. I think it's a really
comprehensive.
It's very human story that is in. You know, I love a lot of the stuff that we cover, but obviously it gets a lot into fantasy and science fiction. Sometimes gets not so human. Very human story that I highly recommend.
But yeah, it's not a story of like, oh, look at this disabled young man who was perfect in every which way and never did anything wrong. It's not like that. It is a very truthful documentary, but it's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not disability porn. I would consider it.
I think final question, and if it's Skeleton and Crew again, that's totally fine. Crew. Just what is your favorite thing that we covered?
Transformers 1.
Oh, wow. You're quick with that. Okay, tell me why that is just immediately your answer. It doesn't have to be new thing in 2024.
Oh, Anything we've ever covered?
No. In 2024, of all the stuff that we covered, what is your favorite?
It is Transformers 4.
Okay, cool.
I mean, gosh, I could talk about it all day. Big fan of Transformers. It hit a lot. It checked a lot of boxes for me. It was an animated Transformers film that wasn't on Earth. And I just, it was kind of nice to see an origin story. Actually, honestly, when, like, my pitch in our pitch episode was fairly similar.
Yeah,
what I was looking for was basically, I would say, Transformers 1 delivered on. Out of 2024, like, outside of the new stuff, I love the Studio Ghibli. It was fun to kind of branch off into that. I'm always a fan to watch a Godzilla movie. Like, I'm always, you want to say, hey, watch a Godzilla movie? Yeah. Yes, I do. We watched Shin Godzilla. We didn't watch that one. You want to sit, through 17 minutes of Godzilla and 2 hours of politics?
I love Shin Godzilla, but I just don't know how much there is to talk about with it.
No, for sure. But yeah,
it is great, though.
I would say mine was probably Transformers 1. I really enjoyed that one. That was probably like the high point of the year for me.
Yeah, we covered a lot of really good stuff, but, and this was something, I think it's cool. I did not watch this with the intent of covering on the podcast, but I watched it this year for the first time, and then we decided to cover it, Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I
if you told Cameron a year ago you're gonna want to watch, you're gonna talk about Avatar Last Airbender, he probably punched you in the face.
I don't know. I would have been, I was never,
he would have given you a snarky comment.
That's much closer. I was never like resistant to Avatar Last Airbender. I was never like openly like, that looks like, I think I'll hate that. It was never that. When people were telling me I would love it, I always kind of believed them, but it was never like, I am really skeptical about television in general.
Avatar Last Airbender is the gateway drug into anime.
That's true.
That's why Cameron was avoiding it.
And I thought it always looked cool, and it seriously was very close to being, it was almost not Starformers originally before we recorded the podcast. It was almost Star Wars and Avatar, Starbenders. So that was almost the other half of our nights together. So it, I'm glad I finally watched it and blown away. I mean, there's so little things I've ever seen in my life that people talk up so much that I actually surpassed what I thought it could even could be. I mean, the, if you had asked me like to describe maybe its upper limits of quality, I don't think I ever could have thought it could actually be this good of a show. Like, nothing but good things to say about it. Like, I think like the most negative I ever felt about it was that, oh, this is a pretty good episode. Like, that is why, for a 4-season, 20 plus episodes on average per season, it's wild. It's so crazy. I'm really glad we talked about it on the pod. It was a lot of fun.
I'm not in agreement because I've known this since I've watched it.
So if, when I look at this list of like a bunch of good stuff that I really enjoyed, that one is just like such a standout. Cool. Well, this was a fun year. I look forward to what 2025 has. I mean, there's gonna be some good stuff, hopefully, and/or season two. But maybe we can next episode. We don't know exactly what we're gonna cover next week. We don't know. We need to decide what we want to cover.
Well, we got to figure out our schedule for the Jurassic Park movies.
That's true. So we have hopefully next week we will have a full comprehensive idea of what the, at least the near future looks like. But the near future right now looks like Meme Minute, but it's longer than a minute. But is it longer than a minute? Because we don't have a ton of memes these days.
We're getting closer to a minute because Cameron won't stop talking. I have a video and 3 images.
I have some stuff that, let me see what I can find. You go ahead and play me your video.
See, the thing is, I save things for TikTok and I don't remember what they are.
No. Mace Windu, whenever he receives a mission report from Anakin, Ahsoka, and Rex. Oh, from the Super Bowl. Very topic. Too ghetto. That's good.
I forgot that what that was.
This is a link that I've saved, and I do not remember what it is. So here we go.
That's my favorite kind of meme minute. Oh, it's a reel? Ugh. Now
So in the second installment of weird Japanese ads that include Star Wars characters, it is Jabba the Hutt, like, being serenaded by a sound system. An actual, like, practical Jabba the Hutt puppet enjoying some Ray Charles. He's just, like, vibing to Ray Charles. It's so good.
Hey, George Lucas, we have this idea. Can we borrow...
And he sheds a single tear. I didn't catch it the first time. That's so good.
Hey, George, this company wants to borrow... the Jabba the Hutt costume for a commercial. Yeah, sure, whatever they want.
Yeah, that 90s, do you know what this almost certainly is there was this weird period in the 90s when he was both simultaneously doing the special editions and making Phantom Menace. He just needed money.
He's like, sure.
And so Star Wars was really weird in the 90s. It was crazy. We might need to do an episode on that sometime.
Will it make me money? Yeah, they're going to pay. give them the costume. All right.
I don't speak Japanese, but it's okay. If you don't remember, the other video was when his head turns into a camera. George Lucas himself, head turns into a camera. What else you got?
Born too late for livable wages, born just in time for Fortnite Godzilla wearing shark slippers.
Is this a weekly installment of unnecessary Fortnite reference?
It all goes back to Fortnite, Cameron. You know what else is in Fortnite? Transformers.
Everything is in there.
Mm-hmm. And Star Wars, actually. That's how they announced Palpatine's return.
Yeah. What else you got?
Athena has something to contribute. Uh-huh. All that soda is bad for you, me and my Baja Bacta tank.
Oh, nice. So Baja Blast is a kind of Mountain Dew that's kind of this like teal color image of Luke in the Bacta tank from Empire Strikes Back. It's a very tealish color. Yeah, that's good. I like it. I've got one meme here. It's kind of Transformers adjacent.
GoBots?
I always talk about how toy markets age with their fandom. Well, it's about to get real. They're canes
for Gundams,
for like different Gundams, like mechs, like Japanese mechs. So kind of felt like Transformers ish
This is my last one. Never forget who is there for you at your lowest. There's a picture of a man walking on a beach with a sunset and just a JPEG of Shin Godzilla with not even the white taken out from it,
and it's kind of like before he's fully evolved and his arms are real tiny. Good stuff. You got anything else?
That's it.
Well,
you're skimping on the memes. I went back to school, so I can't find memes as much anymore.
Yeah, you gotta do homework.
Yeah, do homework.
I have been not doing Instagram this month. Oh. And
I've noticed I've sent you a lot of funny stuff.
I'll take a look at it. And I have discovered that they have games on YouTube, the YouTube app I've been addicted to.
You got games on your YouTube?
I'm trying to think, is there anything compelling in that realm of what I've... No, not really. Okay, as always, thank you to Caleb Jacoby for our intro and outro music. Props to Rachel for our artwork and Twitter account at Rebels Robots Pod.
Props to Cameron for our Facebook and our Instagram.
That's it. And
I've set the Instagram quite a few things.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I'll look. Props to Athena for probably editing this. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully she sent out all those names we said at the beginning. Otherwise, we might have some unhappy friends.
And our locations.
Yeah, really. Give us something to read on the pod. Leave a review, tweet, or DM us memes or opinions. Let us know what you liked in 2020. I know we're kind of past, like... What annoys the crap out of me, quick soapbox here, is that like outlets start posting their top stuff of the year in early December. It just annoys me because like there's still stuff coming out.
Yeah,
that should be firmly in like late December, early January. Because like, what do you talk about in January anyways? This is Cameron Rachel signing off, reminding you that Jod's middle name is just Nah. Good night, everyone. Good night. That was fun. That was good. We kind of came in fully unprepared, but
unprepared for a podcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely not us not knowing what we're talking about just for the next episode. What's less the rest of the year?